Well, good morning, church. Thank you so much for being here. As always, we appreciate it. In your bulletin, you'll find one of these cards. It's our connection card here. If you're visiting for the first time or for the first time in a long time, we would encourage you to fill this out for us. Place for information on there. On the back, there's an opportunity for you to fill in prayer requests if you have anything that you'd like for us to pray for. Anything you'd like to celebrate as a praise report. This is a valuable little piece of paper for us and for you. We'd encourage you to use that if you would. I want to remind you that although your bulletin calls for an evening service because of our Valentine banquet this afternoon, there will not be an evening service. But we do encourage you very highly to come and enjoy this time with us. I think they've cooked us up a really nice meal and some fellowship time over there together. And those of you on the leadership team, make sure that you understand and know that next Sunday, not today, but next Sunday afternoon, we'll have our leadership meeting. I just appreciate you being here. I pray that the Lord will speak up close and personal to you through his word. We appreciate all of you, and may you have a great, great day in the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Kenny. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's all stand and continue our worship service by singing Take My Life. Everybody, please stand. Anybody that would like to come forward, and we're going to continue this worship service in prayer. And if you feel the need and you would like to come forward at this time, we're going to ask the deacons if they'll come forward. And as the instruments play, just come up and spend some time here at the altar.
Thank you.
Let's continue to pray, please. Father, I just thank you for this group of believers that have gathered today just to give you the glory and the honor, Father. Father, you've asked us to lift up our concerns to you, and that's what we've done now. And Father, we trust that you'll do the right thing for us, whether we know what it's going to be or not. Father, we just trust you and have all our faith in you. Father, we learned today in Sunday school that joy comes from you. And Father, I ask the folks that are looking for joy that they can find that. Happiness comes and goes, but joy is there forever once we have it through you, Father. Again, Father, just be with us. Be with this service today. Be with our guests that have come to you and are come here today. And Father, we ask that we'll be as big a blessing to them as they are to us, Father. Again, use Kenny today to bring us your message, and that the words that he talks, speaks, will come from you, Father. Again, we're going to give you all the glory and the praise for everything that happens today. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Let's all continue to sing. Holy is the Lord. Everybody, let's stand.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you so much for the weather that you've given us. We thank you so much for this building to come in and worship you, Lord. We'd like to praise and thank for Mark and the choir and Miss Ellen and Matt that plays some music to honor you, Lord. We just worship you. You've heard of our needs and the illness in the church and that, Lord, and course, you knew that before we even said anything. But just watch over us and keep us safe, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Sing hymn number 340, He Hideth My Soul.
Oh, wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord.
Before Brother Kenny comes, Jenny's going to sing for us.
It is well with my soul. Great song. Well done. Thank you so much. If you brought a Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. It's going to be a very familiar verse. Second Chronicles chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 14 and 15, actually. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Would you pray with me? Father, it's our privilege to be here this morning in what we would call corporate worship experience, Lord, where the church gets together, Father, and we praise your name and we thank you for all that you are and all that you do, all that you have already done. And Father, we take this pause in our time today, Lord, to just lay down the cares that we may have brought with us and have a real, genuine time of worship. And as we talk about today, Father, worship as it relates to prayer and prayer as it relates to worship, Father, I pray very specifically open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to the whole idea and understanding that prayer is praise, prayer is worship, prayer is giving you glory, prayer is asking from you for certain things, prayer is recognizing and realizing how awesome and how wonderful you are. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would leave this building today having had a real, genuine worship experience. And whatever the thing is that you want us to do, Father, whatever decisions we need to make, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would help us make those decisions. Thank you for all you are, for all that you do. We love you. We praise you. We lift you high where you belong. In Jesus' name, amen. Why do we pray? Good question. We just talked about last week the believers that were gathered around in Mary's house in Acts chapter 12. And Peter had been arrested. He was locked up in chains. And it looked like maybe that was going to be his final night on this earth. And God intervened. And he intervened because there was a church praying in a home. And they were praying very specifically. They were praying very meaningfully in order for Peter to be released. And we talked about that a little bit last week and on the previous Wednesday night. It's a magnificent passage of Scripture. But as I begin to think about prayer, the purpose of prayer, you know, the believers in Acts chapter 12, they understood the purpose of prayer that was involved in corporate worship. You know, we seek God through prayer in our worship because it's a privilege for us to be able to communicate with God. Sometimes prayer is as much about being quiet and listening as it is about saying anything at all. Sometimes we need the pause. We need to hit the pause button, call a timeout, and just listen. Pay close attention. We read the Word of God, and we pay close attention to the chapters and the verses. We sing the great songs of the faith. We sing the hymns of the faith. We sing the praise and worship songs of the faith. We sing unto the Lord. We have the privilege to worship in that particular way. And as I begin to look at prayer a little bit more deeply, several things begin to come apart or become very real for me. Our prayer should be strategic, just like the prayer of the group in Acts 12. They had a specific purpose for their prayer. Peter was locked up and he needed to be released. Well, although we're not given the words that these folks said, we're not given, you know, line at a time what they said, we realize that they were gathered there for the release of Simon Peter, and I will believe forever that they prayed very specifically. We need to have prayer not as a time filler, not as something else to fill up an order of worship. What we need to have it is something that's very real. We don't do it out of formality. We don't want to do it out of tradition. We want to do it believing that God's going to listen to what we have to say to him, and he's going to answer our prayer. It might not be the way that you want it answered or that I want it answered, and that's the reality of the moment, is that prayer is wrapped around the will of God. I might ask God to do something very specifically. At the same time, it might not be his will for that to take place, and I should be prepared, but that should not stop me from prayer. I'm not sure that we understand exactly how often God answers prayers that aren't even spoken, how he knows the desires of our heart, how God speaks to you and I in ways that we couldn't even imagine. I mean, I realize that life can be very, very difficult. It can be very frustrating. Certain experiences in life can just turn you off completely. Certain things are bigger than other things. We have issues and problems and desires that don't always get accomplished. And I'm reminded of this sweet mother of two boys. One was 9 and one was 6. And she was having a time with them. They were being absolutely miserable. A real terror. She couldn't seem to do anything with them. They were into everything. They were doing everything that they should not do. And she finally, in exasperation, she picked up the phone and she called her pastor, who lived just a few blocks away. And she said, "Pastor, I'm having a time with these boys. I don't know what to do." She said, "I'm about ready to hang them up on the wall or hang them from a tree. They're driving me crazy. If I send them down to you, would you please put the fear of God in them?" That almost sounds like a terrible prayer over the phone. But she said, "I need some help here. I need somebody to do something with these boys because it's above and beyond anything that I can do." He said, "Oh, I got just what you need, honey. Send them on down. I'll take care of it." So she sends them down to the house, and the preacher, they walk in, and the preacher's got a chair sitting in the middle of the floor. He calls for one of them. He said, you take the chair, and you sit on the floor. Come here." He sits that one down in the chair, and he's got big wide eyes. He don't know what's going to go on because this preacher's a big old boy. Preacher gets out there, and he looks at him, and he walks around this kid, looking at him the whole time, walks around the chair. Finally gets around the other side and he says, "Where's God?" Little boy's eyes got huge. He didn't know what in the world to do. Preacher walked back around him again, made that circle back around him again, and he said, "I ask you, where's God?" Boy, the little boy jumped up. He grabbed his brother. They ran back home. He ran upstairs into his bedroom, and both of them are underneath the bed. And they're both bothered, a big deal. And the little brother, who had been sitting on the floor, looked at the big brother and he said, "Are you crazy? Do you know what mama's going to do to us if she catches us in here? What were you thinking? What could you possibly have been thinking? This is bad. This is really bad." He said, "Oh, you have no idea how bad it really is." He said, "That crazy preacher down there has lost God and he thinks we're responsible." Well, thank you, Randy. That'd be a scary deal, wouldn't it? But I mean, that's how we work every now and then. "God, I've had enough. I have all I can stand, and I'm going to need some help." We pray for all sorts of things, don't we? We pray for all sorts of reasons. When I read that, I couldn't help but smile. I thought, you know what? That gets some mileage out of that because that'll make some sense to some folks. Do you ever feel like sometimes when you pray that it doesn't get any higher than the ceiling, like maybe God went on vacation when it comes to your prayer? That maybe he just doesn't hear you today? Maybe you don't have that feeling on the inside that says, "You know what, God, this is a privilege that I get to pray to you. And I believe down deep in my heart that if I pray to you, you'll hear me and you'll do something about that." And other times you pour out your heart. It might even be emotional. The tears might run down your face and you might think, "Is there anybody up there that's going to listen to me? Don't you see how I'm broken?" And sometimes we just feel like God's on vacation. Testimony of the Word of God, my folks, is very clear. There's a specific purpose in our prayers. God understands what we go through. He understands why we go through this. Oftentimes, I believe that he's waiting for you and I to humble ourselves and call it like it really is and open the door for God to be able to do what only God can do. If my people, that's you and me, if my people, which are called by my name, Christians, shall humble themselves and pray. Boy, the first two lines are easy. We just recognize them and say amen. The second two lines are not nearly as easy. Sometimes it's hard to humble yourself. Sometimes it's hard to just look at life the way it really is and say, "You know what, Lord? I got nobody to blame but me. I caused this. I'm my own worst enemy. This problem that I have is self-inflicted, and I'm sorry for what it has become. I'm sorry for the choices that I made. I'm sorry that it's come to this place. Would you please give me something that I cannot provide for myself, that I cannot do on my own? Would you touch me in a way that I need to be touched spiritually, that I can't create on my own. You see, Israel was a blessed nation. They still are. And the temple was built for them to have a place to go and to pray and to seek God's face and to have a real meaningful worship experience. It involved praising God for who He is and for all that He has done, lifting Him up and glorifying Him, telling Him what a wonderful God He is and has been, how He has listened to them and taken care of them all those years. It was a place where they could come and speak freely to the Lord. I believe that that speaking freely includes more than just prayer. I believe that speaking freely includes singing the great songs of the faith, recognizing who God is and glorifying Him for who He really is. I believe it has everything to do, and we'll hear about this next week, it has everything to do with the giving process that we go through. That's time, talent, and money, not just dollars and cents. It's a stewardship thing. What a privilege is ours that God speaks to us through that process. I believe that God speaks to us through the study of His Word, where we open it up and we look at chapter and verse and we begin to realize this is alive and well and this is God speaking to you and me. And am I listening? Am I paying attention to what He said? Am I reading this? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, oh, there's something else, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then, did you get that? If, then. If I am proactive in my walk with Christ, if I am willing to read this book and understand that these are my marching orders, if I am willing to attend on a regular basis and have a corporate worship experience with the family of God at Lena Vista Baptist Church or some other Baptist church, guess what? God says, if you'll do those things, if you'll humble yourselves, if you'll call on me, if you'll turn from your wicked ways, if you'll genuinely seek my face, then I'm going to speak to you. You'll hear from me. Some things are going to happen that might not happen otherwise. And that's the beautiful part about this whole process here. You know, if we do this, God's committed to doing that. You say, well, Brother Kenny, what on earth does that have to do with corporate prayer? I think it has everything to do with corporate prayer and everything to do with corporate worship. Because to be quite honest with you, there are moments when I'm like that mom. I'm out of answers. Let me just be real for a second. Have you ever been there? Do you know what that feels like? When you feel like that all you have left is prayer? Sometimes we make it an afterthought, and it really needs to be where we start. As you have noticed, those of you who have attended faithfully and regularly over the years, we've started something now with the deacons and with anyone who would be willing to come forth and kneel at this altar. I'm satisfied and I am deeply convicted that we cannot pray too much. We cannot ask God for His guidance too much. We can't ask God for wisdom and discernment too often. And as His family, as His children, called Lena Vista Baptist Church, my heartbeat is that we continue this and that we increase this. And ladies, let me say this to you. I know it's difficult for some of you to come and to kneel for various reasons, but we have benches on the front. Please don't think this is just for the deacons. Please don't think this is just for the men. This is for any one of you who the Spirit of God lays on your heart that you'd like to come down here and humble yourself and pray before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's part of our worship experience. It's part of saying to the Lord Jesus, you are worthy of my time and my energy. It's the process that we need to go through. Corporate prayer, I believe, provides an opportunity for us to speak to God and for God to speak to us, for our companionship with God. Corporate prayer gives us a platform to offer worship and praise to God and adoration to God in a public way. It also continues in private. Scripture is very clear. When should we pray or how should we pray? All the time without ceasing is what 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says. Everywhere is what 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 says, day and night is what 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5 says, and for everything is what Philippians 4, 6 says. In the interest of time, I won't read all of these scriptures, but should you want them, I'm more than happy to provide them for you. The point is that we need to understand that this idea of corporate prayer is biblical. This idea of corporate prayer is what the early church did and what those churches that Paul helped initiate through his missionary journeys. We have this incredible privilege. And will we use it? I pray that we will. It's so valuable and so incredibly important. It's the primary means, I believe, for a local church to enjoy continued blessings from our Lord. The Bible says it very clearly in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the things will be added unto you. It's up to you and I to seek first God, to see what he wants us to do. We need to be proactive instead of reactive. I believe that there's promise in prayer. I believe that there's power in prayer. The miracle of Acts chapter 12 is evidence of the promise and the power of prayer and corporate worship. You know, God promises to hear and to respond to our public prayer. That's what this is all about. If we do this, then God will do that. What will he do? Then will I hear from heaven, he says, and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. America needs to wake up. Amen. And we are America. God has given us the answer. If you'll do this, America, then I'll do that. And I'm satisfied that until we do our part, God is not obligated to do his part. I see signs all the time that says, God bless America, and I love them, and he has. What we need to do is start hanging some signs up that says, America, bless God. It's about time as a country that we got our act together. It's about time that we begin to realize that he has been so incredibly good to us beyond our wildest imagination. We have been blessed above and beyond anything that we would ever deserve. And how are we going to respond? God says, if you'll do those things, I will hear from heaven. I will hear your prayer. How powerful is that? The creator of the universe, the sustainer of the universe, has promised to hear our prayer. Boy, it don't get much better than that. You can't go higher than that. You pray, I'll listen. I'll hear you. Some conversations, you know that people got ears, but they're not listening. And I'm going to leave that alone so I don't get in trouble with husbands and wives this morning, but you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you speak and she doesn't listen, and sometimes she speaks and you don't listen, and we'll leave it at that. God says if you speak, careful, Jerry, if you speak, I will hear you. Does that mean I'm going to get everything I ask for? Only what's according to his will. I will forgive sin. Wow. Nobody does that but God. But he does. Powerful. If you'll do this, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive you sin. Here's a very valuable line. And I will heal their land. I believe that we need to begin to petition God in a very specific way. Lord, I'm going to own my sin. I'm going to cry out to you. I'm going to call it what it really is. And I know that you listening, that you hear me, and that it matters. And I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to seek your face. And Lord, with your power living in me as the Holy Spirit, I'm going to turn from my wicked ways, and I want to hear from you. And God says, if you'll do that, then I'll hear, I'll forgive, and I'll heal. He promises his blessing when people join together in prayer. Exodus chapter 20, verse 24. He promises answers to our prayers. Maybe not the answers that we want, but at least answers. And I believe the bottom line is that we can and we must depend on God to do what he says he will do, because there are just some things that you and I cannot do. Yeah. There's a lot of testimony in the Word of God about the priority of prayer, about the purpose of prayer, about the promise of prayer, about the power of prayer in ministry. I want to read something for you here. Came out of a resource that I'm reading. It talks about Jim and Carol Cimbala. They're part of Brooklyn Tabernacle. And this is what they do in their church. And I thought it was exceptional. Doesn't mean it's got to be something that we do, but this is what they're convicted about doing. And this is how they do. This is how they do Sunday morning. I found it very, very interesting. The entire congregation participates in extended prayer time during the regular service. It's a vital part of their worship. A host of people gather in another room during the regular morning services. They worship God through song and prayer, and they intercede on behalf of the pastor. Tuesday evenings are devoted entirely to worshiping and praying. The Cimbalas believe that the once-a-week prayer meeting is the power behind their ministry. Their order of service runs like this. It's an energetic and an intense worship and praise time with songs and hymns. Then the entire congregation spends an extended time on their knees, simply worshiping God, offering petitions to God, and participating in intercessory prayer. They witness the wonders of God's work through this prayer. Lives are being changed. Homes are being restored. Broken hearts are being mended. And then they praise God as they watch and as they pray and as they meet. And he meets their spiritual, emotional, and financial needs as a church. And they're satisfied that for them, that's the process that God has approved. And because they spend an adequate amount of time being very specific to their Lord and Savior, he hears their prayers. He answers their prayers, and he heals them. The process of prayer. What in the world does it look like? And should it be the same for every congregation? Should every congregation do what they do at Brooklyn Tabernacle? I think not. Should every congregation do what we do here at Lena Vista, where we have an opportunity to have corporate prayer at the altar? I think not. I believe every church needs to be on their knees about what God would have you do and how he would have you to do it. I think we need to be very aware that God has a specific expectation for you and I. That we pray is absolutely obvious. That we pray often, that's absolutely obvious. The words of those prayers, wide open. The place of that prayer, wide open. The stance of that prayer, wide open. Some people lay prostrate on the floor. Some people kneel. Some people stand. It's what's in here that makes a difference. When you and I pray, do we believe? It's like the passage in Acts chapter 12. It blew me away when I first read that prayer. You know, Peter comes up and he's knocking on the door. He's been let loose from the prison. He's knocking on the door. Rhoda comes to the door. She knows Peter's voice. So she goes back in to tell him, he's out. He's been released somehow. He's here. He's knocking on the door. They thought she was nuts. And when he finally opened up the door, he came in, and what was their response? They were astonished. Do we pray, church, expecting God to hear and answer our prayers? Or do we pray because it's something that we're expected to do? Do we pray because it's in the bulletin, in the order of worship? Do we pray because we feel like we have to? No, we pray because he's worthy of our prayer. And he has the answers to things that you and I will never have the answers to. We get the privilege to pray. Just like we get the privilege to sing, and I'm back that same horse that I've been riding now for a year. I don't have to come to church. I get to come to church. It's my privilege. I don't have to pray. I get to pray. I don't have to sing. I get to sing. Does it matter? Are we going to have a real worship experience where we came here and today, this morning, in this place, and in this hour, I met with my Lord. And I told him how awesome he is. And I sang to his glory and to his praise. And I told him how wonderful his treatment of my life is. And I thanked him for the answered prayers over and over and over and over again throughout my life. And I'm so thankful to have this privilege to come down here to Lena Vista Baptist Church and to sit here with God's people and to have a genuine worship experience. And God, if you confirm me in that which I've been praying for, thank you. And God, if you comfort me because I am broken on the inside, because life has not been fair or fun, if you comfort me in the distress that I find myself, thank you. And Lord, I'm even going to go far enough to say, if you convict me, if from your word, the Spirit of God speaks up close and personal to my heart, and I feel a genuine, real level of conviction, and maybe I leave here not feeling so well on the inside, but knowing that I have been in your presence, that you heard me, I'm going to be better for it. You see, church, I'm of the honest opinion that we need to take every advantage in the right way of a corporate worship experience. Sing like Jesus is sitting up here listening to you. Pray like Jesus is listening to you on the same pew. Give like you've never given before, of your time, of your talent, of your resources. And leave different than you came. I'm satisfied we really have a privilege and an opportunity, and we might not be taking full advantage of it. We're not told the specific words of the prayer that the people prayed in Acts chapter 12. We're not told how they sat or stood, whether they were on their knees or they were prostrate on the ground. We're not told what the structure of their service was, whether they had a couple of songs and a prayer, whether they just went in and prayed, or whether they sang for a long time. We're not told that. We're told that some prayed, because it says in the scripture that there were many of those people praying. We understood that Rhoda was the door girl, so they had somebody watching the door. So Larry, don't feel like you're by yourself back there, brother. What you're doing is valuable. What you're doing is meaningful. And it does not prevent you from having a genuine, real worship experience with the Lord while you're here. And they were in consistent prayer, and they were gathered together as believers. They believed that this is how it's supposed to be done. This is our conviction. This is what we get the privilege to do. And I really got my eyes open about prayer, about what I'm fixing to read to you. There are so many other passages of Scripture that shed light on the process of prayer. We've talked about the purpose of prayer, the power of prayer. God does things through prayer that nobody else could do. God does things that you and I can't do. He answers our prayers. Most often it begins with our personal and our public motives. But listen to this, and this is chapter and verse, and I'll give it to you that way. Prayers are offered up in the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 6:18. Prayers are offered up in faith, Matthew 21:22 and James 1:8. Prayers are offered up in full assurance of faith, Hebrews 10:22, in a forgiving spirit, Matthew 6:12, with the heart, Jeremiah 29:13, with the whole heart, Psalm 119, 3 through 8, with the preparation of the heart, Job 11:13, with a genuinely sincere heart, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, with the spirit and the mind, 1 Corinthians 14:15, John chapter 4, verses 22 through 24. With confidence in God, Psalm 56:9, 86:7, and 1 John 5:14. With deliberation, Ecclesiastes 5:2. With holiness, 1 Timothy 2:8. With humiliation, 2 Chronicles 7:14, what we just read, and 33:12. With truth, Psalm 145, verse 18, and John chapter 4, verse 24. With the desire to be heard, Nehemiah 1:6, Psalm 17:1, 55:1 and 2, and 6:11. With a desire to have an answer from the Lord, Psalm 27:7, and 102, verse 2, 108, verse 6, and 45, verse 1. And that, my friends, is just a small sample of what the Word of God says about our prayer. Praying with a forgiving spirit, praying with a whole heart, praying with a sincere heart, praying in the spirit with the mind, praying in holiness and deliberation, praying with truth, accepting and understanding that we need to be heard. We want to be heard and have a desire that we want Him to respond to us. It becomes amazing what God is willing to do when you and I do our part. You know? So is prayer really practical, or are we wasting our time when we do that? It's very practical, isn't it? We have a specific need. Lord, our brother is ill. Lord, our sister is in financial difficulties. Lord, our brother and his wife are in a relationship issue. Lord, we have a very specific need, dollar-wise, for our church. And he said, if you'll speak, I'll listen. Not complicated. We need to speak. Expecting. I believe that prayer and corporate worship should be practical. Peter had a desperate need, and the church knew that. And I will believe, although we don't have chapter and verse to say what to tell us what they said, I'm satisfied that because they prayed based on this need, that Peter was the target of their prayer, and they asked the Lord to do something that only he could do. Although they were terribly surprised when God answered their prayer in the same night, it does not matter because he did answer that. You see, they had witnessed the murder of James by Herod. And it's very possible that Peter was going to have the same problem the next day. So they focused on issues that were important. And this is where it really spoke to me. And the Spirit of God was asking Kenny, do you pray specifically? Or do you just pray generally? Well, Lord, heal all of our sick. Not a bad prayer. But wouldn't it be more biblically appropriate if we prayed by name and by circumstance? And I know what I would have thought. Well, do you have any idea how long that's going to take? You know, we set aside a specific time. We expect to start that time. We expect to be done that time. And oftentimes we need to spend a little bit more time than we're spending. We need to call out the names of these people who need our prayer. Don't be surprised if that don't begin to happen on Wednesday night. Instead of having a general prayer, maybe we need to write down the requests as they're given to us by name and circumstance, and we might need to say those things out loud and ask God to do the work that we can't do. They were persistent. Said they prayed all night. I don't ever remember praying all night. Not proud, just honest. They had a purpose. I believe that corporate prayer helps us to be honest. It helps us to, it's hard to focus on worship that way because it takes a lot of time and a lot of energy. But the wonderful thing about it is God hears. Consistent, faithful, purpose-driven prayer, I believe, is the source of power in the life of the worshiping believer. I believe when we take the time to get very real with God and just call it like it is. Lord, I understand. I messed this up. It's my fault. I own it. I said the wrong thing. I did the wrong thing. I went to the wrong place. My attitude is wrong. I'm owning this. Listen, folks, that kind of prayer hurts. But I believe when you and I are honest and when we're humble and when we seek the face of God because we want him to do something in us and for us that we cannot do on our own, we have to just get to the place where we say it like it really is. God, I have an attitude. Would you help me with it? And if I say it to you, I know that you're going to hear me because you promised to hear me. And if I'm genuine with my request, and I really call it like it is, and I own this process, and I say to you what you already know, that I'm not big enough to make sure that this happens on my own. I'm not smart enough to make sure that I can do this on my own. I lack wisdom, and I lack discernment. But Lord, I'm here. And I'm asking you now, do what I can't do. And if it hurts, so be it. I'll go this far. I believe that that kind of prayer is a worship experience. And it can happen not only privately and should happen privately, but it can happen corporately where we just cry out to God as a church and say, we live in a broken culture. We live in a world that cares little or nothing about you, and we're trying to do the right thing for the right reason, and it's our desire to live for you. Would you help us do that? I believe that a local church or a local fellowship of any kind is never the same after its members begin to realize the value of corporate prayer. It is in every part, my friends, a worship experience, and that's what we've been talking about. 2 weeks worth of messages on worship and music. Now, this is the second week of messages on worship and prayer. And I believe it's all involved. We have this privilege. We need to make time for extended times of prayer. Setting up services where we spend maybe more time praying and less time teaching, or less time talking. When God's people worship and they communicate with God through prayer, I believe that God sends the power to take care of the things that are being prayed for, and sometimes he does it in the same night, just like Acts chapter 12. And if we don't do that, in some ways, we are opening the door for Satan to rob us of that time. I don't often do this because I love preaching and teaching from the King James, and I will stay there as often as I can. But I want to introduce a resource to you that you may not know about. You may know about it. It's called The Message. It's from Eugene Peterson. It is basically a modern-day language translation of the Word of God. And there's a prayer that I want to share with you in John chapter 17, should you want to turn there. Feel free to turn there. This is one of the longest prayers recorded in the entire Bible. It is from the lips of Jesus himself. And he sets an example for you and I in our prayer. My conviction is that I share that with you today as it is being spoken through this. This, my friends, is Jesus' promise and his prayer for his followers. John chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus said these things. Then, raising his eyes in prayer, he said, "Father, it's time. Display the bright splendor of your Son, so the Son in turn may show your bright splendor. You put him in charge of everything human so he might give real and eternal life to all in his charge. And this is the real and eternal life, that they know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I glorified you on earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. And now, Father, glorify me with your very own splendor, the very splendor I had in your presence before there was even a world. I spelled out your character in detail to the men and women that you gave me. They were yours in the first place, and then you gave them to me. And they have now done what you said. They know now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that everything you gave me is firsthand from you. For the message you gave me, I gave them. And they took it and were convinced that I came from you. They believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the God-rejecting world, but for those you gave me, for they are yours by right. Everything mine is yours, and yours mine." And I love this line. "And my life is on display in them. For I'm no longer going to be visible in the world. They'll continue in the world while I return to you. Holy Father, guard them as they pursue this life that you conferred as a gift through me, so they can be one heart and mind. As we are one heart and mind, as long as I was with them, I guarded them in the pursuit of the life you gave through me. I even posted a night watch, and not one of them got away, except for the rebel bent on destruction, the exception that proved the rule of Scripture. Now I'm returning to you. I'm saying these things in the world's hearing so my people can experience my joy completed in them. I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it. Because they didn't join the world's ways, just as I didn't join the world's ways. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you guard them from the evil one. They are no more defined by the world than I'm defined by the world. Make them holy, consecrated with the truth. And your word is consecrating truth. In the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. I'm consecrating myself for their sakes, so they'll be truth consecrated in their mission. I'm praying not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me because of them and their witness about me. Folks, that's you and me. The goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so they might be one heart and mind with us. Then the world might believe that you, in fact, sent me. The same glory you gave me, I gave them. So they'll be as unified and together as we are. I in them and you in me. Then they'll be mature in this oneness and give the godless world evidence that you sent me and loved me in the same way you've loved me, or loved them in the same way that you've loved me. Father, I want those you gave me to be with me right where I am so they can see my glory, the splendor you gave me, having loved me long before there ever was a world. Righteous Father, the world has never known you, but I've known you. And these disciples know that you sent me on this mission. I've made your very being known to them, who you are and what you do, and continue to make it known, so that your love for me might be in them exactly as I am in them. That's Jesus' prayer, not only for his disciples in their present walk, facing all of the situations that they would face, both good and bad, both difficult and easy. This is the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, having taken the time to be very, very specific. God, protect them from the evil one. God, open their eyes and their ears to hear your word. Lord, let them become one in heart and mind, like you and I are one in heart and mind. And Paul said it very well in Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it was Paul's attempt to get the Philippian church to make sure that they were unified. He says, so they'll, and you know, God give this to them so they'll be unified and together as we are. That they'll be mature in a oneness, that you and I will be pulling the wagon in the same direction, that every member of this church will be headed in the same direction together, unified in one. We can't afford to be divided. No house that's divided will ever stand, and we cannot afford to go there. He says, Father, the world didn't know you. And I'm trying to show the world who you are by what I do. These disciples, they know you. You sent me on a mission. I'm sending them on a mission as well. So I'm asking you to protect them in every way so that they might be one, so that the world might understand who I am and who you are, and that it was all designed for their salvation. Folks, let's don't ever underestimate the power of prayer privately and corporately. Make sure that we understand that our Savior practiced prayer on a regular basis, and he was God. How much more do you and I need to do that? Just be real with your Heavenly Father, and he'll be real to you. Maybe you're here today and you would say, I don't know anything about this God you're talking about. I'm present and accounted for. I know about him, but I don't know him personally. There's never been a time in my life when I've ever asked him to be my Lord and Savior. He, far as I know, is not my Savior and Lord. Has never been. If you're in that place today, I'm just going to ask you, you don't have to leave here without having that happen for you. Would you be willing to just simply surrender to him? I'm not talking about giving up. I'm talking about surrender. It's different. Would you just simply say, Lord, I don't know you, but I need to, and I want to today? Maybe you're here, you need to join this church. Maybe you're here, you just need some more altar time. It's wide open. There'll be nothing embarrassing, or we will not point you out or whatever. These altars are always wide open for you as the Spirit leads, always. Whatever that case might be today, my prayer is that you would respond positively. And you'll be glad you did, I promise. Stand with me as we pray. Father, what a privilege is ours. Prayer is so incredibly valuable. Lord, we don't do this just to fill in time and space. We do this because you told us to do this. You told us that if we'd call out to you, you would hear us and you would heal us and you would fix us. And Father, we're calling out to you, Father, both independently and corporately as your church. Thank you, God, for hearing our prayers. And I realize we don't get what we want all the time. That doesn't make you a bad God. Help us to continue to ask, believing that not only do you hear, but that you respond. And there's no other place, no other place on this earth where we can take our concerns to anyone that has greater power than you do. You are our God. We are your people. And it really matters. So help us to do the right thing always. In this invitation, may the lost be saved. May the troubled be comforted. And may you speak to us up close and personal through the events of this day. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this privilege and opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come?
Hymn number 320.
Just a couple of quick announcements. We've got a couple sign-up sheets in the back. One is for an AED and also a CPR class. We're going to get Polk County to put on this class, but we do need a sign-up because we need to know exactly how many folks are willing to participate. Also, on March 6th, we're looking at going to an Ernie Haas concert. It's over close to Tampa someplace, March 6th. Put it on your calendar. And also, we would really like you to sign up for that so we know how many people are going and how we can accommodate that. And as always, we always need people to sign up for the nursery. So if you're willing to sign up, Brother Kenny?
Whoever closes us in prayer, pray a blessing over the food, and that way the transition will be a little simpler. We can just go ahead and get over there.
Okay. Brother David, will you dismiss us, please?